All right, the last time the Toronto Blue Jays won back-to-back.
Yeah, Parker.
It was April 28th to 29th. They beat the Dodgers 3-1. They beat Kansas City 6-5. That was also the last time they were at 500. They were at 15-15 back then. It is Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker. And the number to call is the back leg line, 416-413-3959. Leave us a voice note. And you can text us at 590-590. We're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And on the TV side, in a few minutes, we're here until 7 o'clock. We'll be going live to John Schneider's news conference as well. But, Kevin, a 9-3 win for the Blue Jays. You know, Cito Gaston always used to talk about, obviously home runs are great, but Cito Gaston always used to talk about how much he liked to see a team hit doubles, because doubles to him suggested a good approach. It suggested that guys were on time or getting on time. 12 hits for the Blue Jays today, 6 doubles, 3 of them by Bo Bichette, his first multi-extra hit game of the year. 3 of them by Bo Bichette, 2 home runs as well, and the Blue Jays putting the boots to the Chicago White Sox 9-3. Now, a couple of things. One, the White Sox offensively, well, are the only team worse than the Blue Jays. We're the only team worse than the Blue Jays coming into this game.
Offensively. There you go. Clean that up.
But all that aside, Kevin, I mean, you really got to be a negative Nelly to look at this game and try to come up with something bad for the Blues.
So let's don't do that. It's holiday. Let's all be happy and, you know, be happy that John Schneider actually made out a lineup.
John Schneider's a genius.
Give him credit.
Well,
whoever
moved Danny Jansen into the number two spot is a genius.
Well, I mean,
doubling a home run.
Every time I've talked to anybody around that, I get the same answer all the time. The last call is John Schneider.
John Schneider is a genius.
For putting Danny Jansen in the two hole. Hopefully he's in there tomorrow.
He should do his – I was going to say, hopefully Danny Jansen is in the number two spot tomorrow. Yes, indeed. Or maybe Daniel Vogelbach will be back DHing.
You were
crying before the game.
Well, he did have three hits.
Daniel Vogelbach got 3 hits. That blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, too. I keep telling you that. Daniel Vogelbach's not getting another 3 hits.
Yeah, they had some really
if he
good –
does, you know when he does? It's going to be a triple A. Let's be clear.
I thought you weren't going to be negative.
I'm not negative, but I'm just, you know, you came on this on Blair and Barker. And, no Vogelbach. Can't believe it. No Vogelbach.
I said.
And they didn't need him. They got 9 runs. They got 12 hits. Again, John Schneider's a genius. He had Danny Jansen in the number two spot. It looked great.
Yeah, I think what I was trying to say was Justin Turner had been struggling a lot.
Yeah, he has.
Guy had 3 hits, hit a homer. They don't hit a bunch of homers, lefty.
See,
you know,
they're going negative with Justin Turner.
That's what I was saying on our show. Look, I think if you're Bo Bichette and you're walking away from this thing and you're thinking to yourself, I got a slider down the middle, I got a sinker down the middle, a little down, I got a sinker middle 0-2 for a single, the sweeper was on the black away, I got a little lucky double right there. Point being, I think, is if he gets a good pitch to hit, he puts a good swing on it. And when he is doing those kind of things, because he's very good at hitting. Like, I mean, I don't think we can argue that. I just think whenever he's struggling and it's sort of trying to put together the mental part of it, the timing part of it, and the mechanical part of it, and all the conversation off the field part of it, all mixed together and actually want to go up and be productive, is a very hard thing to do. I think this should tell him something. If he gets a pitch somewhere close to the middle of the plate, because he has lots of talent offensively, great things are going to happen. And I think that's sort of as simple as this thing needs to be, right? No matter what the count is, if I'm still looking down the middle, because I can do things with my hips, I can do things with my hands, my barrel will get in the zone way back, and it'll stay in the zone a long time, and if I'm getting a decent pitch to hit, good things are going to happen. So take that away from the game and hit the ground running here.
I want to welcome our friends on Sportsnet TV, and let's go to John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.
This offensive performance seemed more spread out, better than in past games. What allows the lineup to do that compared to games where that doesn't happen and it stays in one inning?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you look at, you know, Bo had 4 hits. You know, Vlad hit the ball well. Jano hit the ball really, really well. Schneid just missed one and hit a double. You know, so I think that key to me today was Varsha's homer, his first AB, to kind of take the lead back a little bit right there. But then, you know, just little things, you know, KK's hustle double, kind of getting things going. Vladdy scoring from first on Bo's double. But I think when Bo and Vlad are doing what they're doing, you know, puts us in a good spot. And then obviously Jano's really swinging the bat well right now.
John, you just mentioned Varsha's homer being key. What made it in your mind so key?
You know, they score, you know, early, and I think that, you know, just taking the lead right back is big. You know, when you got, you know, Hosey on the mound, or any one of our five on the mound, really. But it kind of just shifts momentum a little bit early. You know, he can do that on pitches in that part of the zone. So I think just kind of taking the lead back right there was big.
And from an approach standpoint, swing decisions, those kind of, what would you like to see your hitters bottle from today and continue onward?
I thought we had a good plan. I mean, Fetty's good. He's having a good year, obviously. But I thought our plan was good, and I thought we adjusted really well. He was living away, and we were trying to get him just up out over the plate a little bit more. And we did that second time. You know, Varsha, obviously, you know, first time. But I think as the game went on, guys were really trying to get him up in the zone a little bit, because when the sweeper, cutter, sinkers, off, it's going to be weak contact. So I thought they did a good job of adjusting and, you know, fighting off some pitches and then putting good swings on pitches we wanted to swing at.
John, Barrios had a quality start that didn't really feel like a quality start. What did you see, and did he come out a couple of batters early because of frustration?
No, I mean, I think I thought he was good. I thought there were some really close pitches today, and I thought there were just a couple mistakes with two strikes that were just in the zone too much. I think with the way the score was, you know, I think it was, you know, 3-run lead at the time, wanted to try to get him one more. But, you know, didn't want to push him too far, even though he's on an extra day of rest.
Thanks, everyone.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Again, welcome to Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network, and Sportsnet 9-3, the Blue Jays beating the Chicago White Sox, the first game of a three-game series at the Rogers Center. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. That was John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And, of course, most of the focus will be on the offense today, and rightly so. 9 runs is that's been a good week for this team at points in the season. But let's talk a little bit about Jose Barrios. And again, if you want to jump in the conversation, 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. Look, if you're coming back from the lake, you're stuck in traffic, you ain't going anywhere.
Nope.
Get your passenger to send us a text.
Absolutely.
Send us a text, 590-590.
Yep, love to hear from you.
And name and location, mm-hmm. We'll get you on. Let's talk a little bit about Jose Barrios. Alejandro Kirk caught all 9 of his starts, previous starts this year. He allowed 8 hits. It was a season high. Wasn't, you know, look, again, we're not going to get anything negative out of this, but that wasn't the best we've seen of Jose Barrios.
Yeah, look, what was he? He was 14.
And he looked like he was.
He was 14 to 25.
Stretching a lot. And,
yeah. I mean, look, he was wearing sleeves, which is sort of odd. I mean, it was pretty warm out there. It just seemed to me like he, for whatever reason, you know, it's just he couldn't get things lined up the way I think normally it's right. He gets the sign, he grips it, he throws it. Like, it's just seems like he was sort of all in between trying to figure out, you know, where my shirt is. It's tucked in too far. It's, you know, am I loose enough? Like, why am I wearing these sleeves? Like, why is that ball not breaking there? It's like you could just tell he was searching, especially with 2 strikes against certain hitters. You know, he navigated. I think that's the thing, right? And this Jose, you know, can do this, right? The mechanical changes he's made, he's eliminated a lot of extra movement that he didn't need in past years, that now, you know, sort of when he needed to make a big pitch, he made it. You know, I think you're trying to say maybe that them having Danny Jansen behind the plate may have, you know, caused a little hiccup and had him mentally working harder. But I'm not going to let you do that, Jeff. I mean, sometimes you will throw a grenade my way and try and get me to say things of that nature. I will not do that. They scored 9 runs. They beat a team that they, quite frankly, should beat all the time. And they had their best pitcher on the mound who didn't have his best stuff and still gave them the thing that they needed, which is a quality start and a chance for a lineup and individuals in that lineup to have big days against a bad team. And that's exactly what happened. Nice try, though. I'm on to your ways, buddy.
Tell you what, it only took you a while. Only took it like 8 years. Danny Jansen's home run, 377-foot shot. You noticed something about not just the pitch he hit, but the pitch he took on the 1-0 count. Can you tell us a little
bit about
that?
Yeah, it sure looked to me like he was ahead in the count. He took a fastball right down the middle from a guy that, you know, throws 97 like
so
that.
So what are you thinking right away?
It looked to me like he's sitting spin. I mean, I think coming into tonight, they were hitting somewhere right around the 180s off the fastball. It's almost like if nobody else can hit it, why would I look for it? It's, again, you know, not every at-bat you can go up just sitting heater. If you're going to have success to the pull side, which is what Danny wants to do, right? He don't want to hit balls to the right field. If he hits it over there, a lot of the times it's a mistake. He wants to get the ball in the air to the pull side. You think you could do that with 97? Sure didn't look to me that way. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot of other people have had success trying to do that. So you ask, hey, you know, what's he got? How hard's he throw? Anybody else having success pulling the baseball off him? Probably not off his fastball. Sit, spin. It just looks to me when he took the fastball in a fastball count and then he gets the spinner and he hit the spinner where he hit the spinner. I mean, sometimes you just got to call a spade a spade. So, yeah, I think this is sort of where Danny's at, right? You can put him anywhere in the order. He has a really good approach to what he's trying to do to a baseball. And if a guy is not going to allow him to do that on a certain pitch, why would he look for it? I mean, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but boy, it sure looked that way. And as soon as I saw that, I looked at you and I said, man, it sure does look like he was sitting on that. So we're going to give him credit. And, you know, it worked out for him and that was a big hit.
Let's go to Miguel in Quebec. He left us a comment on the back leg line.
At what point is George Springer going to be back in the leadoff spot if he begins to hit maybe like this weekend? I think we should stay with David Snyder and Danny Jansen at the leadoff spot and the second spot. I just don't think that the change needs to be made on this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping the next time we see him in the leadoff spot is, I don't know, 2025. Spring training, maybe a nice day.
Oh, yeah, travel day in spring training.
Maybe a nice day in Brady. No, I'm not going that far. I mean, he can hit leadoff in spring training. He can hit leadoff in the game in Dunedin. I have no problem. Look, you know, we don't know.
Right now it doesn't make sense.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, it seems as if George Springer is on board. At least he's saying publicly he's on board with the move to drop him in the order. I think my friend Mr. Barker may be right, even though he thinks I'm an idiot when I suggested that George, you know, go knock on the principal's door and say, hey, John, I got this idea. I stink now. Why don't you move me down into the sixth spot? And
you know, I hate to agree with you, but it sure seems like after the double play he hit into in the eighth inning
on Friday, it sure seemed like. But I mean, yeah. As far as the leadoff spot, I mean, I hope they don't change it.
I knew this would be brought up. This is why I wrote these two situations down. You see in the second inning with Bo Bichette at third base and less than two outs, mm-hmm. the quality of the at bat Springer had was not very good.
No.
The sixth inning. With a runner at third base and less than two outs, you see the quality of the bat is not very good. I think that, for me, is all you need to know right there. Right now, it just doesn't make any sense. You force George to force you into making a change. Those at-bats right there, if you're the manager, is not going to do it.
And we talked about, you know, the previous games where George Springer has been hitting sixth. He contributed. He got on base a couple of times. Had a double today. I mean, his biggest contribution today was walks and scores a run. And
when your team's in last place, can't sell to your fans and to your lineup and your locker room one guy is getting more at bats than the other guy. You just can't sell it.
You can't do it.
Nope.
So I'm hoping that, you know, absent anything odd, that John Schneider. That he sticks with David Schneider and Danny Jansen at the top. Or, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, if he moves Danny Jansen, whatever. If he wants to play games, if he likes what Bo's doing, maybe you move Bo into the number two spot, move Danny into the cleanup spot, whatever. I mean, the point is, I think right now it's got to be Schneider, Jansen, Guerrero, and then Bichette as your top four.
Yep.
Justin Turner is not getting it done right now. So Justin Turner, I think he's maybe the next guy. I got to say this. I got to throw this out there. I would rather have Spencer Horwitz. here making contact than Daniel Vogelbach.
You can't have three. You can't have three DHs.
No, well, then Daniel Vogelbach. Adios. Daniel Vogelbach. I mean, we're not going to have a debate. We're not going to have a debate about Daniel. About Daniel Vogelbach. Derek in Vancouver, 416-413-3959. That's a back league line. Derek had a message for us.
Question around Justin Turner. What do you think is happening with him? Is it finally his age catching up, or are you seeing something in his swing or approach that's just not clicking right now? Great win from the boys today. Looking for some input there. Thanks.
I'll turn it over to the hitting expert.
Look, I think when you get off to a hot start and, you know, the khakis have to start digging into what they're trying to get
well
you out.
Very well done, by the way, Barker. Mm-hmm. Roughly 10 minutes before you mentioned
khakis. I didn't even mention khakis in our show. So it's a good solid 50 minutes of that show and 10 minutes of this show. He's trying to have an uppercut in his swing. He wants to get the ball in the air. So if I'm a pitcher or a khaki or a pitching coach, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, you've told us that you want to uppercut in your swing. You want to get the ball in the air. So try the elevated fastball. We're going to crowd you with that. So the league's made an adjustment, right? That's what the game is all about. When you're having success, you're hitting in the middle of the order. You're, you know, an air quoted run producer. They're going to try and figure out ways to get you out. And I think that's what it is, right? The league's adjusted to him. And is it age? I don't think so. I think he's smart enough to figure out ways. We've even seen him open up, cheat a little bit to get the barrel to the ball on an elevated ball. Like, he knows how to do it.
Yeah, you made a point on Blair and Barker, though, that maybe needs to be restated. And that is, it's as much as Justin Turner has made a career out of being a late bloomer and made a fair amount of money being a late bloomer.
Yeah.
And won a World Series ring being a late bloomer. As much as he has done that, it might be a little bit of a reach to expect a repeat of 2023 this year. That doesn't mean he can't be a productive player. I mean, mm-hmm. he's not costing them. He's not having a detrimental effect in anything, but maybe it's a little much to expect that.
It gets back to that when a guy like Vogelbach has a good game and gets three hits and hits a home run and he's not hitting, then that sort of is the reason why, right? When you're in win mode and there's urgency everywhere. I mean, we've heard it the last mm-hmm. couple of days that you're playing
it's
the
patience,
hot hand.
Though. It's urgency mixed with patience.
It is unless you lose two out of three to the White Sox, and then it ain't that anymore. No. So, you know, I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put the best lineup on the field. And, you know, to the caller's point, I think it's a combination of a couple of things, right? Obviously, your bat's going to get slower the older you get. I mean, it's human nature that those things are going to happen. And now you have to be smarter with your at-bats, right? When you do get a good pitch to hit in your zone, you got to be real honed in on everything working the right way. And right now, it's sort of escalated into, you know, he got sick. I mean, I'm sure that sort of made it slower. He couldn't work as much as he wanted to work in the cage. He's trying to sort of overcompensate when he does get in the batter's box on certain pitches, certain locations, because he thinks he's got to get him out of there. He's got to change their mind on how they're trying to get him out. So it's a combination of a bunch of things. And I'm sure he's going to get out of this because he is a very smart guy. He'll mechanically figure it out. It's just right now, everybody's wanting him to do it right now. And they want him to go 4-for-4 with three homers. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do.
9-3, the Blue Jays have beaten the Chicago White Sox, the first game of a three-game series. Game two goes tomorrow. A reminder for those of you who watch us or listen to us on Blair and Barker that we are moving to 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, 4 to 6 tomorrow on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. Julia in Kleinberg sent us a, I love Kleinberg, by the way. Nice little place. It's a great place. A nice little place. Sign Danny Jansen now. Well, there you go, Julia in Kleinberg. Straight to the point. Danny Jansen's a free agent. I mean, if I'm Danny Jansen, you know, I've had a career marked by injuries.
Yeah.
I am a catcher. this is probably going to be my big payday.
No question.
If the Jays haven't signed me by now, I'm certainly not going to cut them a hometown discount.
No, I'm not.
Listen, we're all about Danny Jansen. You want to, Ross and Mark, you want to sign Danny Jansen right now? Have at it. I mean, we'll hold the news conference in here. Well, because we're all about Danny Jansen. But at this point, if I'm Danny, I got to think about it.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's going to cost you a ton either. You know, what would be the number? I mean, it's if he's what's he making now? Five, a little over five and some change. So you figure if you give him six a year for 3 years, that's okay. So that's what that's 18. I mean, that's a good decent number for a catcher who can call a good game, is a good blocker.
You know, it's a decent team number. If I'm a catcher,
I'm not sure that he's going to get any more of that on the open market. I mean, he could try, but that's the point I think you're trying to make is he's been like hurt a lot. Don't play a ton.
How'd you like to see Danny Jansen swing at Fenway Park?
Yeah, look,
for
81
games a year at Fenway.
It's just you know, you sort of know what makes Danny tick. You know what doesn't make Danny tick. You know how to keep sort of Danny on the field, which might be the most important part out of all of that. Well, I mean, they're doing giving it the old college try.
And also, a lot of Danny's injuries are, you know, not wearing padding in his hands and that. Like, it's not like Danny Jansen's injuries have been the result of some cataclysmic misread by
point,
the training
point is
staff.
He plays he don't play 70 games a year, which is not enough, right? So, who knows if – have they – we don't even know if they've haven't had conversations already of trying to re-sign him. So, look, yeah, I think if you're Danny, you don't get greedy. I think that's the thing you got to make sure you remember if you're his representative and you're Danny. Like, what is the number? Like, how do you know what the number is for a guy that plays 65 games a year?
Well, 60, but
that's the thing, right?
What are you talking about? You're talking about possibly marketing a guy. I think about this. This is a guy now who, he's established his offensive credentials. All of a sudden now you're marketing Danny Jansen as a power hitter who can catch for you. Maybe he's not your everyday, on a contending team or a championship team. Maybe he's not the everyday catcher. Maybe he doesn't have to be the everyday catcher. Is there someone willing to give him, I don't know, if you're Danny Jansen, give him a multi-year contract, $9 million a year, $10 million a year with some numbers that allow him, if he catches a certain number of games, to vest the option here. I mean, if I'm Danny Jansen, there's a lot of ways.
Yeah,
this
the last 2 years he's played 72 games and 86 games. Yeah. Like, what's the number, right? Again, we have no idea. They may have had conversations already. Like, we have no idea how this has went. So, yeah, it'd be intriguing to see how they handle this. And, you know, they don't. It's not like they have a plethora of other good catchers who can hit homers at the minor league level.
I mean,
so they don't grow
trees.
They did
have a catcher. They did have a catcher a couple of years ago.
Be nice. We all know that, but it's, you know, they don't anymore. So
that is the other issue. Something we didn't mention for the Blue Jays. What do you have in the system that's ready to come up? Because Alejandro Kirk is not catching 5-7.
Not offensively anymore.
He's just not.
Yeah.
So if you don't sign Danny Jansen, you're going to be looking to either trade or sign Danny Jansen.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, he's an organizational guy. I mean, Danny Jansen's as much a Blue Jay as anybody, maybe more so than anybody in that uniform.
It ain't going to cost you a ton, and it would make total sense.
I still don't know, though. Catcher, I mean,
it ain't gonna. He don't play enough to be asking for a ton.
He hasn't so far.
Yeah. What would make you think he's gonna?
Well, if Danny Jansen hits 25 home runs, I mean, I'm looking at a guy who can catch DH for me.
He's gonna make some money, but what would that number be?
416-413-3959. And of course, the market dictates that as well. The Blue Jays beating the Chicago White Sox 9-3. Game two of the series goes tomorrow. Game three is on Wednesday. Then it's off to Detroit. Then they got Chicago again.
8-2. Next 10. I'm telling you right now. Like, they're one win closer to 8.
8-2 is.
So you got to win 7 more out of the next 9 games. Yeah. Like, this is the time. It's go time.
And if you're
the White Sox, never a good team, Jeff.
The last time the Jays won a series is, no, they're not, April 19th to 21st against the Padres. That was when the Jays were in the middle of winning 7 of 10 games and had won 4 in a row. Ed in Halifax, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Is it possible that Vladdy could have been this contact hitter the whole time and just needed someone to speak some sense into him to not go for the long ball all the time? And we hear so much about Barker's struggles in baseball, but Barker, can you tell me about the first game you got called up in Louisville? I think it was a good one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Ed.
Wait, he's asking me the first time I got called up to AAA or the big leagues?
I guess getting called up in Louisville for the first time, because you broke big league spring training with the Brewers.
When Gary Allison called me twice, and then I hung up on him because I thought he was kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought somebody was playing a prank on me. Yeah, yeah. That didn't go very well. Like, I'd hung up on him one time. It was because it was in Norfolk, I think we were in, and I'd had a pretty good game, and I was on the bus, and people were ragging on me. Like, that's how you did it. Like, I was a young kid, and we had older guys. AAA was an older thing. That's where you put all the old guys, right, in AAA. So I was getting, you know, poked at, and he called me, and I hung up on him. And then he called me back. I hung up on him again. He called me back and said, "Slick." And I knew when he called me Slick that it was him. And he said, "Don't ever do that again, and you're going to the big leagues." And I was like, "Sir, I'm so sorry." So that was my story.
They didn't, like, bring you into the office and have the cameras like they do now with every prospect?
It was like 2:30 in the morning or something. I think somebody got hurt.
They couldn't find you. No, the true story is 2:30 in the morning. They couldn't find you.
There's nothing to do in Norfolk. It's the minor leagues. I can't afford to go out.
I don't know. There
leagues.
Is a place I know in Norfolk that...
You've never been to Norfolk.
I have so been to Norfolk.
You're a big leaguer, Jeff.
There's a naval base.
You're a big leaguer.
No. There's a naval base there.
Everybody knows that.
Like, there's a naval base there.
That's like, you can read about that.
There's a place. It's called Skippers. Skippers.
Yeah.
It is. Okay. It's a place called Skippers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a place in Norfolk called Skippers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That's
I don't
a tough
know how
word
to,
for me to
I don't
say,
know how to
the
answer
way.
The thing about the Vladdy being a contact guy.
I don't want him to be. I want him to hit home runs.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not a real home run hitter. He hits the ball so hard it don't stay in the yard. Like, he's not a home run hitter. He's a line drive hitter who hits it so hard it just doesn't stay in the yard. I just don't know exactly what the approach is for him, right? It's And I know he's moving around the batter's box a little bit, which frees him up to not swing at things he doesn't want to swing at, right? When's the last time he grounded out of third base? You guys remember that? It's kind of nice to not watch that, ain't it? Yeah. It's funny how when you're getting a little freer and easier at the plate because you move around the batter's box, how that can free things up. You just don't sort of want him to stop being this guy, right? You know, I think the more balls he hits hard on the line, the better chance he's going to have of hitting the ball hard. So, you know, I think that's just continue to do what he's doing and hopefully he starts running into some things and gain some confidence with point of contact. The more he makes contact out in front of his front leg, the better chance he's going to have pull side of hitting that ball in the air and the ball go hopefully where everybody wants it to go.
It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Here's what you're going to do if you want to take part. You're going to call up the back leg line, 416-413-3959. You're going to hear Barker's voice. You're going to leave a message, name and location, or you can text us at 590-590. Again, name and location. Jay for Mailmer, he reached out via text. Amazing game by Bo. Is he back? Time will tell, but he's looking like himself again.
I'm going to say yes to that. I'm going to say I think lately he's gotten better pitches to hit. You know, again, I know he thinks he can hit, you know, anything from the ear to the shoe top. Maybe he can.
A lot of times he can.
Yeah, but I think when you're struggling, you sort of got to get a better pitch to hit. Like, you got to get something in the middle of the zone that you could stay in the big part of the field with. And when he's hitting balls left center and right center and can keep the out and around ball fair, that he hit in his first at bat, which was the sweeper that was going away from him, and it was on the black, and that will tell you he's on time, right? The front foot's getting down on time, and everything is sort of working the way it's supposed to work, right? The leg is going up when it's supposed to go up. The hand is wrapping when it's supposed to wrap. The elbow is dropping when it's supposed to drop. The barrel is in the zone as long as it's supposed to be in the zone, because everything's working from the ground up. And for me, that starts with getting a better pitch to hit. And I just mentioned that to you, right? Slider middle, a little up. Sinker middle, down. Sinker middle was the old pitch single that he hit up the middle. The sweeper was the lucky double that he got. But the point being was most of those balls were in the middle of the zone. Could be north and south, but for the most part, they're in the middle. If he stays there with that stuff, because he can hit. And to answer your question, for me, absolutely.
Yeah, it looked a lot more like the Bo we've been expecting to see. And, you know, you've made this point often on this show and on Blair and Barker as well. You know, I'm looking at George Springer and all the talk in spring training, going to pull the ball more. Mm-hmm. All right, we talked about Bo. Want to hit for more power, want to be a run producer. He wants to get paid. Bo wants to get paid. Mm-hmm. And
who doesn't?
Kevin Kiermaier. What did Kevin Kiermaier say? Kevin Kiermaier, you know, got to hit for more power because I want to get paid too. You know, didn't like the offers I had in the offseason.
Didn't have any offer.
Didn't have any. Thought mm-hmm. I'd get more than I did. I didn't. And yet, you know, I see Kevin Kiermaier lately, and Buck and Dan made this point. He's hitting over 300 in his last, I don't know, however many games. We saw him have a real good at bat against a tough lefty today. If Kiermaier and Bichette, just do what you did for me last year.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do, right?
No, one
guy's getting no offers whatsoever, and the other guy's expected to carry a team. That's not the easiest thing to do.
Isn't the key, though? Okay,
it's not easy.
But isn't the key to kind of do what you did last year and build off it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, we just talked about Justin Turner having career years later in his career. It's not the easiest thing to do. Right?
Danny Jansen is addressing the media.
Nice.
As a catcher, after catching the first inning, is it a little bit weird to kind of rush in and have to take a plate appearance that quickly?
A little different. I mean, I guess so. When you hit, you know, anywhere from 9 or 7 or 5 even. But, it's not that much of a difference to not get used to it, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it was cool.
Offensively, things have been going really well for you this season. What's been clicking for you to kind of allow you to have that success?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of what I learned about myself, just a little bit of freedom and to kind of sticking to my strengths and having an approach and sticking to it.
Danny, it seemed like there was an effort to jump on Fetty early in counts. Was that kind of what you guys were hoping to do there? Get first thing you could see and start swinging?
Yeah, he's a good pitcher. He's got, you know, a lot of different pitches. So, I think, speaking of my at-bat with the guy at third base, I was looking for something over the heart of the plate or something up a little bit that I can just get in the air. But I think, when, you know, guys got good stuff, you want to just try to, you know, it might be one pitch that you get. So, definitely being ready to go.
Rios was just saying that he really kind of liked the way you guys have been playing the last 8 games or so. You guys feel like you're turning a little bit of a corner? What do you think of the recent run?
Yeah, for sure. We've been playing tight games. You know, definitely, some tough ones recent, but tight games. And everybody's got each other's backs. So we're going out there and we're fighting and competing, you know, every day. So every day trying to win, you know. So, I can second that. I like the way we've been playing.
Then from an approach perspective, swing decisions, kind of things, what did you see from the lineup today that you like guys to like bottle up and continue to use in the coming days?
Yeah, I think it's looking for your zone, hunting your pitch, hunting maybe a spot of the plate, and getting your swing off, getting your ace swing off. You know, I think that this team, we definitely can fight with the best one with two strikes, but definitely, you know, picking our spots and letting it eat kind of early.
Just curious how you found out today that you're hitting second, or was it? Has this been a discussion that this might happen?
No, I just found out today. Yeah, found out today. I was eating breakfast.
What was your reaction?
it was just like I said earlier. Any spot I'm in, I'm ready to go.
What was working for Barrios today?
He's throwing a lot of strikes for sure. He's getting in the zone. You know, definitely mixing all of his pitches in. You know, he's a machine. He's going to come out there and attack. He's got all sorts of pitches, so it was fun being with him and competing with him.
Jano, does the manager talk to you about the feature of hitting in the two-hole, or is that something day-to-day for you?
No, yeah, I haven't heard anything, but like I said, I mean, wherever I am, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go out there and do everything I can to help the team.
Did you find it that you were being pitched any differently at all with Vlad behind you?
I didn't even think about it really that much. But obviously, Vladdy's been hot, and he's one of the best hitters in the game, too, you know. So, yeah, I don't know if that was a thing, but I didn't really think about it that way. Just trying to do what I can.
What were you having for breakfast?
Oh, sounds pancakes.
Maple syrup, I hope.
Thank you. Danny Jansen coming off a big game for the Blue Jays today, hitting in the number two spot. As the Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 9-3, the first of three games. We're going to take a break and come back. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network, and Sportsnet. So it's a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk on a gorgeous long weekend Monday.
Beautiful.
The Jays have beaten the Chicago White Sox 9-3 at the Rogers Center. Is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, the back leg line, as always, 416-413-3959. Leave us a voice note, name and location. We'll, if we like it. Well, I shouldn't, that's not right, because just because we don't. It depends on a lot of things. Neither do I. if we don't get your voice note on, it's somebody else's fault. I'm not going to say who it is. But you can leave it anyhow, 416-413-3959, name and location, and you know, we'll endeavor to get it on. And if you want to text us, 590-590. 590-590 is the text line. Hey, Kevin Barker, who do you think leads the American League in batting since April 16th?
Jansen.
No. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is hitting 342. That's from our friends at Sportsnet Stats, so it better be right. Vladdy hitting 342 since April.
How's his exit velo? Does it say?
I don't know what his exit
velo is. Bat speed's good?
I don't know. I can't remember.
How many RBIs has he got?
Allegedly. Now there you go.
I mean, he's hitting in the middle of the order.
What his expected OBA is in that. So there you go. George in Toronto left us a voice note.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on the lineup flexibility point that we've seen in this weekend. I really like it. I think they waited much too long to make these kinds of changes, and I hope that they continue to do that. Like, Turner's going kind of cold, so you know, you can move him around until he gets hot again or whatever. I think we've been too stubborn with and inflexible. I remember last year after Springer was moved out of the leadoff, when he came back, the manager said he's going to continue that for the rest of the year. And I thought that was a mistake. I think you go with a hot hand and you play with your lineup and you be creative and not treat it as a kind of a tenured position. Anyway, I'd like your thoughts on that.
Thanks for the call. I mean, you know what? The threat of being fired does amazing things to a whole bunch of people. And I've got to think that I think that given where this organization is this year, I think there is, you know, all kidding aside with what Ross Atkins said, I think both the manager and the general manager realize there's a sense of urgency. Look, I get John Schneider's desire for trying to find a balance between flexibility and consistency. There are players, you know, Bo has said this. I think what Bo says, it kind of sums up what Major League Baseball players think, Kevin. And that is, I'll move around, but give me some consistency. You know, and I think that's
until I'm hitting 190.
Until I'm hitting 190, then he can do whatever he tells
you. There you go.
But no, I think there is a fine line there, you know. Lineup flexibility. You know, it always used to mean mixing your lefties with your righties and trying to get balance, and now it's way more complicated than that. It's swing paths and I mean, just different. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but there's a lot more that goes into constructing a lineup now than we've seen in the past, than back in the day. But I think the Jays are at a point now where they got to score runs. And if you are swinging the bat well, you are going to get more at-bats. And, you know, part of me thinks, Kevin, too, that all this talk we've heard about tweaking the flow of information and, you know, the hitting coaches, they've got all this stuff. I also think that maybe at some point the manager says, you know, that's all great and well. Here's a bottom line. If you're producing for me, I'm going to see if you can get more at-bats. How do you do that? Well, I put you first, second, third, or fourth. First and second, certainly you're going to get more at-bats. So I think in a lot of ways, it can also be, the lineup can also be used as a way of kind of reaffirming the message.
Yeah, it's rare that a catcher hits second. Rare.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there are guys, Russell Martin used to hit at the top of the order. JT Realmuto was hitting, I believe he was hitting second for a while. You know, there have been guys in the past, Jason Kendall. There have been, in the past, you've seen catchers hit at the top of the order because they had a particular skill set. Jason Kendall had a skill set. Guys like Ted Simmons had skill sets. They could hit at the top at the top of the order. Russell Martin had a skill set. Every now and then, he could hit at the top of the order. I just think that maybe what you're trying to say in a polite way is, Danny Jansen doesn't strike you as the typical catcher who'd hit at the top of the order.
Yeah.
He's not real. He's a good base runner. Mm-hmm. He's a good base runner. He makes good decisions, but he's not fast. He's not going to steal any bases. He wants to pull in a ball and hit home.
You got to remember, too, he gets hurt a lot. When you get hurt a lot and you hit in the top of the order, you're going to be running in bases a lot.
Right.
Chances of you getting hurt is, so you got to be real careful with that, too. I just think they're trying to play the hot hand right there.
I think it's that simple.
I don't think they care anymore about the outside noise. I think they care about the locker room. And I'm sure the locker room is, starting with George Springer, has basically said, hey, There's better options. Put the better options up there. Let's see if we can get on a real roll here. We're at the part of our schedule where we can make up some ground. We can win some baseball games if you make the lineup out the right way. So you like what they've done? I couldn't agree more with the caller. Like, I agree 1,000%. They don't have any meat of the order. I mean, John even said it there. When Bo and Vladdy are looking like this, lineup looks pretty good. Just sort of everything's starting to fall in place.
Well, when they're hitting,
hopefully they continue to do that.
When they're hitting, you can kind of mix and match in and around.
Put them wherever you want to put them. You can sprinkle in the other hotter guys around them to where they're getting on base. So when Bo and Vladdy come up, those hits matter a little bit more.
Yeah.
And makes total sense.
Yeah. And you know, the thing I like about Dalton Varsho, you know, he can hit in Dalton Varsho pretty much anywhere in the lineup right now. And, games like this, you can, like, they're not going to score 9 runs all the time, but there are days like this where you can kind of see in some ways what they were thinking about when they put this lineup together, when they put the roster together. And it really does reinforce that. Vladdy and Bo, I mean, they're still the dudes driving this bus offensively.
I think sometimes you can understand why Ross came out in the offseason and said, we believe in the core. The core's 2 people. It ain't nobody else. Mm-hmm. It's the first baseman and the shortstop. And whenever they're doing their thing, you can now sort of maximize what they're doing during a game with how you make up the other parts of the lineup, right? Yeah. You can even spread them apart to get somebody else on base who is doing that at a certain time. So, yeah, it makes sense.
416-413-3959, the back leg line. Barry in Ottawa, he left us a voice note. We liked it so much, we're putting it on air.
I'd like to ask Kevin what he thought of Schneider's management of the pitchers today. I thought that Berrios maybe shouldn't have pitched in the seventh. That the pitch count was down, but he came in and struggled in the seventh. And then brought in Cabrera, who struggled further. And I would have thought that possibly it should have been Swanson, Garcia, and Romano for 7th, 8th, and 9th. I'd just like to think of what he thought about the relief pitcher management today. Thanks.
Yeah, 91 pitches going into that inning. I think you're going to give Jose however much room Jose wants. You know, you could tell they were having a conversation on the bench, and sort of Jose said, I got this, let me go out there. It's just, you know, and then Jimmy's going to be the guy who puts out the fire. Like, that's who they go to whenever they need the fire being put out, and that's what happened. And then you get a bigger lead, and then it's sort of the Swansons and the Cabreras of the world. Cabrera's cutter slider thing's just not working. Whatever that thing you want to call that, I call it a slider. Cutters don't look like that. So, you know, whenever he comes in the game, you hold your breath, right? And that's how you can't abuse all the other guys all the time. Some of those guys are going to have to pick up slack a little.
Until Chad Green and Bowden Francis are back. Eric Swanson's
going to. And Rodriguez is going to be a nice little mix, too, because he can stuff
Eric
you.
Eric Swanson's going to have to. He's going to have to do some
pitching. Yeah, it's just not splitting. Like, he's just not doing a ton.
And you can't move. You can't have Swanson against the meat of the order there.
So it's bottom of the order. It's righties. It's, you know, you're trying to get Cabrera in there when he does, no matter what the score is, against some lefties. Like, whenever their stuff's just not – a lot of them dudes right now are throwers. They're just not pitchers, right? And you just can't abuse all the other guys all the time. And this is what I said, right? This is when the lineup needs to step up. Like, they need to score some runs where it makes it a little easier for, you know, some error for John not to always have to make the right move.
590-590, the text line. Sierra from Toronto left us a text. Thoughts on the so-called modern era of lineup construction where you put an on-base man in the lead-up to set the table for your power guys, 2, 3, 4. How does Davis Schneider fit in that model versus Springer right now? I mean, I don't honestly. With the Blue Jays right now, the setup of the lineup, we talked about this. Who are my four best guys? Who are the two hottest guys right now out of my four best guys? Congratulations. You're leading off and the other guy's hitting second.
Davis can hit a homer. A lot of the times the leadoff spot comes up in traffic. And for whatever reason, George said.
And you made a point about Davis Schneider and Captain Obvious. But, he just crushes hanging pitches. And there's some guys in this lineup who don't.
Yeah, he hits mistakes really well. You know, I think sometimes you got to be real good at sitting on those pitches. You know, the straight up and down approach that he has where he's standing like Troy Tulowitzki used to go to the plate.
Yeah.
Troy didn't have the leg kick, but it's the straight up and down thing, right? The eyes move a lot, and you got to be sitting on certain locations and certain pitches and certain counts, and Davis just seems like he's pretty good at that. I think it's just the obvious thumper in the right part of the lineup before other guys are coming to the plate where it can just sort of let everybody else walk up and do their thing. If Davis is running into things, hitting the ball in the air, creating damage in that spot where not a lot of other guys can do that, it takes pressure off of other people. It seems to me like this lineup is under a ton of pressure. Just seems like the coaching staff as a whole when it comes to the offensive side sounds to me like it's just not saying it the right way. And there's just a ton of whatever that ton of stuff is from the on-deck circle to the plate is just not mixing together. And if you got a guy like Davis who just seems to be buying into whatever anybody else is saying and walking to the plate and doing damage, that's what you want. You want a guy who can take pressure off other people, and it seems like Davis is doing that.
And the other thing, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with it, although I don't think it hurts. He's a guy that his teammates obviously cheer for. Like, the whole Davis Schneider story is great. And I on a team that has spent so much of this year trying to find positives.
Yeah, they're begging.
Right? Like, trying to find, you know, all the stuff, the energy and all that and momentum. I mean, whatever, all that hocus pocus. But, yeah, they just need – they've been looking for something good.
Yeah, Bo's been struggling. I mean,
and Bo, would, Schneider,
be a,
something
Bo would be a good leadoff hitter if Bo wasn't struggling at the time that Davis Schneider was doing well, right? And would you rather have Bo getting on base and Davis coming up with lots of traffic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he can hit the 3-run homer, right? They're searching for to where they don't have to have a lineup full of dudes who have to string together 4 or 5 hits, and that's hard to do, right? And when you got a guy who can change the game with a 3-run homer, it's your job as a manager and as an organization to put him in the right spot. And I just think the way it's constructed, and he looks comfortable there, and he's not changing anything, he ain't going up there to look for a walk, boy.
Yeah.
He's going up there to You're punch up there to you do right damage. In the mouth.
He's going up there to do damage. That's
He's got holes just like everybody else does. But, you know, I think that tells a pitcher that you better make a good pitcher. He's going to make you pay for it.
Paul in London.
It's a great question.
Just a comment about the outfield defense. Just really impressed with Kevin Kiermaier, Dalton Varsho, and I think that, you know, Springer, for all of his struggles he's had at the plate, he really gives us consistent defense there in right field. So just wanted to comment, if you guys could, on the outfield defense and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, they better be good based on the way they've been hitting a lot of the year.
Well, Mark Budzinski, too, is tremendous at setting guys up and practicing before the game start. I know it's a big deal. Like they do a lot of homework on where they're starting and, you know, the jumps that they need to get and the routes and you know, even the timing of when they leave their feet to make certain plays on those diving plays, big parts of the game. Like, you know, it's just not by accident. It's because they work on it. They practice it. They are very prepared because of the coach that they have, the outfield coach. So we got to give him a lot of credit. He also does the first base coaching. So he does a very good job. And they're very athletic.
Dalton Varsho's an elite defender.
Kiermaier, they are hungry for the baseball. That's like base running. We saw excellent base running today because you got to want to run them bases, boy. Like you got to want to go first to home. You know, Vladdy's not the fastest guy. He's not, you know, he's not the skinniest of people, but boy, you can tell he wants to run the bases.
Yep.
Kiermaier's the same way, right? Their team knows that it is go time, and you just sort of love the way they play the outfield because they want to catch the baseball.
It was also a little funny today too. Bo's double. You see Bo kind of half-ass it down the line, holding his bat, thinking it's foul, turns it on, but then he makes a great read, running read that right
tagging
away.
Up on the ball in left field. And Benintendi don't have the greatest of arm strength. You go on that, right?
And that's, you know, one of the things this organization has talked about is cleaning it up,
Well, you
on
ain't
the
hitting
base
homers.
Pass.
You got to do little things. That's little things.
Yeah. And you know, George Springer. Again, we've talked about this. I'm not surprised by George Springer's defense because we had Steve Sparks, the Astros radio analyst, and Jeff Blum, their TV analyst, both tell us when the Jays sign Springer, if they're smart, they'll move him to right field because one, it'll help keep him healthy, and two, he's a better right fielder than he is a center fielder.
Yep,
and he is an elite right fielder. The play today you were talking about where he dove for the ball, I think we agree that was the right play to make, but that top spin.
Yeah, it was two strikes. It was an elevated fastball. It was a lefty hitting it. He's a little out and around it. Ball had top spin. Yeah, you had like look. I think he's earned the right by the way he plays defense. Yep. To if you feel like you can catch it,
go
catch it. Like that's what you want from your defenders is no fear. And I love that he did everything right except catch it. I mean, it's a tough play. He makes it. We're gonna cheer him if he misses it. I'm still gonna cheer him because he got the right jump. He left his feet at the right time. He just missed the baseball. And when you're sort of not scoring runs, you got to try and push the envelope sometimes, and he did that. Good for him.
Victoria from Burlington sent in a text that we liked. Should Varsho stay in a lower spot in the lineup 6th, 7th, 8th? He seems more comfortable in the lower spot.
Does he?
He's kind of the Swiss Army knife of the lineup to me. I'll move him around. He's a guy, you know, we roll our eyes about bat paths and matchups and things like that. He's a guy where I think you can do that a little bit with Varsho. Don't you think? Like, don't you think you can do that a little bit with him?
I want Dalton to hit 25 homers.
You don't care
I don't care what he hits for average. Whatever 25 homers brings. Say he drives in 65 runs, that's a really good year. 25 and 65, steal 20 bases, play elite defense in center and left. How can you argue? I think if you can sprinkle him between at the top of the order, dudes that are hot, yeah, I'm okay with him up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then now there's no pressure on him to help carry a team or hit the big homer, right? Just get a good pitch to hit and try and pull it in the air. Like, that's no pressure. That's not overthinking it. That's just being you. If you don't do that because the other dudes around you are not hot, then I think that's when you'll see John put him at the bottom of the order. They will overthink that lineup process.
Yeah,
callers know it, and fans of the Jays know it. Just get used to it. Like, they're going to way overthink it.
So, Danny Jansen back in the second spot tomorrow.
I hope so. Yeah. But again, it's the fine line. How do you keep him on the field? He will sooner than later have to run them pillows.
Yeah,
he's going to have to run them, Jeff.
Yeah,
and
I
running
know,
a
I
lot
know, I
as a big catcher who yeah. has trouble staying on the field is not the greatest of things. So, yeah, tomorrow, fingers crossed.
You know, the thing you can do to get out of that?
Hit a homer.
Hit a home run.
Lots and lots
then
of
you
homers.
Can, they can take your time. Then you can take your time.
If Vladdy's hit one like one in the last 37 games, I wouldn't bank on it.
I'm talking.
If Vladdy hits behind him.
Oh, yeah. Aaron from Saskatoon. What is wrong with guys like Bo and Vladdy striving to hit 325 with a pile of doubles, a pile of RBI, and only 20 to 25 home runs? If that's what they will do consistently, how do you not lock them up for big bucks?
I think that ship sailed, that last part of that conversation. I think it's probably maybe time for both parties to go opposite directions. I think they're trying to do that. I think Vladdy thinks he's a 330-hundred guy. I really do think he's that.
Because he was.
Yeah.
And
I know for a fact Bo thinks that.
Oh, Bo
for
is,
a fact. I
Bo
know
is
Bo
one of the
that.
Guys that will tell you as well that he looks at average.
Yeah.
As a that's his stat.
Bo
wants to win batting titles.
When you
Bo
don't,
should win batting
but,
titles.
But when you don't have things to fill in the blanks and you add more to their plate, and then they walk to the plate trying to do things they're not used to trying to do, then it starts to snowball, and the snowball starts to go faster down the hill, and it takes them a little while to fix it or stop it, right? And I think that's sort of what we saw, right? You think hitting, it ain't going to go well, no matter who you are. Like, it's just Chad Mottola was on our show and said that it's his job to take what the khaki says and get it as close to C-ball, hit ball as possible. That's his job as a hitting coach. And I think sometimes the Jays have a real tough time of doing that, getting it close to C-ball, hit ball. So hopefully we're starting to see the best out of both of those guys. And if that happens, it'll take pressure off everybody else, and you will start to see the best out of them.
Yeah, and this is – it is predictable, or it was predictable, that as these guys got closer to free agency and their free agents after next year, got to keep that in mind, as they got closer to free agency, they were going – it's not that you become more. It is. Yeah, you know what? It's almost, if you get closer to free agency, sometimes you become a little more selfish. And how do you get paid in baseball? Well, power still gets you paid. And maybe if you're Bo, I mean, if Bo hits free agency and he's hit 285, 290 with 20, 25 home runs, you know, both of those guys will eventually get paid. But I think that they're striving to get the biggest contract they will probably get in their life.
And they also know Otani's not here either, right?
And
they know they got to pick up the slack. It's not the easiest thing to do.
No.
Stop rolling your eyes, fans. I know I was one of those. It should be the easiest for the guys that make the ton of money. It's not always that way, and it's very hard to stop the snowball. So hopefully we're starting to see the best out of them too.
9-3, we had a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk today.
Get used to saying that, Jeff.
I think so.
Oh, nice, it's happening.
Series win.
Above 500. No, that's sweep. Boy,
we got to go for
not sleep. Winning.
And then you got the Tigers. Then you got the White Sox again.
And Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
It's go time. Yeah.
Well, it is. It's definitely go time. And go time got off to a great start today. 9-3, the Blue Jays beating the Chicago White Sox. A reminder that Blair and Barker will be moving to our summer time slot tomorrow. We'll be on from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. And, of course, we will be along following games of Blue Jays talk as well. So, 9-3, great day for the Blue Jays. Lots of offense. Dome open, big crowd, beautiful sun. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Nicolet and Trois-Rivières. Bet you didn't think I could say that. Trois-Rivières, Quebec. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.